settled.
Okay.
So
now, who brought ACLU? Brought
it's
this,
the
or?
ACLU and a local attorney, Carrie Knox. They
Carrie
are
Knox,
suing.
I know Carrie. Yeah.
They're suing on behalf of three families and also Pen America, who is representing many of the authors whose books are being banned, like Judy Blum in that. So,
I want to, Frank, mm-hmm. you are a professor at MTSU.
Yes, I am.
Tell people your what your qualification, tell them what your job title is, what you
sure.
do.
Well, I'm an associate professor of library and information science.
Okay.
And I have two graduate degrees in library and information science, one a master's sure. and the other a doctorate in library and information science.
Good enough. Okay. I've got to tell you what, let's open this thing up. Right now, my name is Evan Lee Raymer, and I'm still a private investigator. Welcome aboard.
This is the Edwin Lee Raymer Show with your host, Ed Raymer, on your Good Neighbor Station, News Radio, WGNS.
And to the person who just sent me a text, I'll talk to you later. This is the Evan Lee Raymer Show. I'm Ed Raymer. Thank you, and I will get back with you later, sir. And I'm pretty sure this guy's listening. But anyway, like I said, this is Evan Lee Raymer. Show me Ed Raymer, your host. The show is produced at Studios WGNS, AM 1450, 100.5, 101.9 FM right here in the heart of the great volunteer state, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And you can reach us tonight with your questions, comments, or ideas at 615-893-1450. That's 615-893-1450. And you can also send us a text to that number if you don't want to go on the air, if you're a little too high or too shy, don't want to be heard, if you're somewhere you're not supposed to be. And Connor will get it, and he'll hand it over to us, or he'll read it for you, whatever you want to do. My guests tonight, Frank and Carrie Lambert, glad they're here. They've been here many times before, several times, won't say many, and glad to have them. And you can find us, of course, and I'm not going to go into this much anymore, Facebook Live, YouTube Live. You can find all my broadcasts there on YouTube Live. Type in the approximate date. It'll take you to all of our broadcasts and many others that are here on WGNS. And then, of course, if you younger people, some of you, if you get in your car, there is a generally rectangular-shaped device in the dash of it. It's called a radio. And if you'll press the part that says on there, that thing will come on, and you can get all kinds of sounds out of it. You can even listen to me if you want to and our guest here. So, you know, at 1450 AM, 100.5, 101 FM, Angela Bingham was here tonight. Try and tune her in. She does a great job on Sunday. You know, in simplicity, her and Angie Marie, just fine people, doing a good job feeding people every Tuesday. I'm telling you, they're turning into a big deal. And you can get the damn WGNS app and take WGNS with you wherever you go. Listen whenever you wish. Frank and Carrie, I want you to hear something. I've had Connor upload this. This is courtesy of YouTube. This is Keith Richard, part one, where he appeared at the New York Public Library. I got just a couple minutes of this. I want y'all to listen to this. Go ahead, Connor.
Made the biggest impression on you, and the thing that you said really surprised me, because the first thing you said was, nobody reads anymore. And I wanted to, you know, since we're in the library here, I wonder if you could talk about your own love of books, your own, you know, you have great libraries yourself, and what reading meant to you when you were a kid.
Sure. Dartford Public Library, I mean, it was nothing like this, believe me. to me, I don't know, it was a place where you got a sort of hint that maybe there was a thing called civilization. It was the only place around where I willingly would obey the rules, like silence, please, you know. I tiptoe like the best of them, man. And I think it was that sort of different space that is, it's there for everybody. I mean, I still owe fines from about 50 years ago. Astronomical by now, I should think. But, it was somewhere where I could find out things I wanted to find out about, you know, that you weren't necessarily being taught at school, and you just get a certain interest in something, and you say, well, I know where to go to find out a bit more about this, and it would be, you know, the library, you know. And I don't know, in England, all public libraries actually, I think, were designed and built by the same guy in any town, but you knew where you were, just because there was the library. And it was always like the center of things, and it, so it should be, you know. I mean, they're not keeping all these books for nothing, are they?
Yeah. No, not at all. And now yours is among them.
That's a man named Keith Richards. He's a guitar player for a band called the Rolling Stones, and they're going to try and get out here and make some money one of these days. Go see them if you get a chance. Their tickets are a couple of dollars, but I think you'd enjoy it. If that does not sum it up, as people here should start to just slow down, and remember what we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm. Libraries are the heart of a community.
They Absolutely. Are.
Yeah,
they are.
And that's why it's such a shame that our public library is under such attack right now.
Sure.
Because while I've said things have slowed down at the schools right now because of the lawsuit, our public library has decided to go in full force. Mm-hmm. They recently had passed banning any book that even acknowledges trans people exist. That very thankfully was rescinded. Mm-hmm. Their lawyers told them that this is so blatantly illegal. And they came back and said, we were warned by our lawyers that the way this was worded isn't appropriate, so we're rescinding it. However, since I'm taking over as chair next month, we're just going to rewrite all of the policies to ensure none of this material makes it in there. They're denying scientific fact. They're saying that there's only two genders, X and Y chromosome, completely ignoring the gazillion variations and obviously showing they don't understand biology.
That's not true.
Well, I want to ask them, if there's an individual in front of you with Turner's syndrome, are they male or female? Since you are saying it's binary and there's only male or female, is someone with Turner's syndrome male or female in your limited view?
Well, Kira, I would ask, where is their degree at? Is there have a medical degree? That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, they
I'm
don't.
I'm talking
but
about libraries. Not even close. I'm talking, you know, because you were here last time and you brought this up. I'd never. Maybe it was one of the other people. I forget.
Because they keep denying science and saying that anyone who's part of LGBTQ+ is just mentally ill.
You'll have to forgive me because I have such a hard time. And here's another thing, okay? And I don't mean to just wipe it off the table like it's a grain of salt. I mean, this affects, what is it, less than 0.5% of the total population of the earth? I mean, that people are born with this condition, I believe. Do you have...
I don't know the statistics of exactly how many, but there's so many variations, it's not even funny.
Right. Yep. You know, but I mean, it is a big deal, but on the scope of things, we have bigger... we have bigger fish to fry.
Oh, we do.
We've
I don't know why
they're...
We've
got a public school system here that this thing is going to be hemorrhaging money, well, if it's not already... Mm-hmm. And we have so many people that came here because, you know, hey, you know, Rutherford County got a good public school system.
Mm-hmm. Had.
That's why they're Had. Here.
I mean, they have amazing teachers. Well, they have some amazing people involved. Mm-hmm. But the current direction they're going is saying a good chunk of our population, our school population, is no longer welcome here. That is what they are saying with the different motions they've been passing, resolutions they've been passing, the policies they're doing. They're basically telling a good chunk of the students that... We don't want you here. Go away. And our public library is doing the same thing. If you're a person of color, if you're LGBTQ+, your stories don't matter. You don't deserve to be represented. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to say that you're just all crazy and there's nothing wrong. And this is the only worldview. And it's very disturbing because knowledge is power. Education is power. Right. And they're trying to take away people's power.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And, you know, any authority, just don't. And just kick it under the rug and just don't say anything about it.
Yep.
You know.
Exactly.
We're going to go to our first break if we could. We're at 14, 15 after. Carrie Lambert, Frank Lambert, her husband, is here with us. Glad to have them here. All of you that are listening, thank you. Hang on. We'll be back with you right after this. Ed Raymer, stay with us. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged follow, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Moorfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Moorfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged follow, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
All right, we are back. Frank Lambert, how are you? And Carrie, you got some announcements. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, while I was here this evening, I wanted to mention to people, if they want to get involved, if they want to understand what's going on or want to be heard or have questions, there are two opportunities tomorrow evening. There is a steering committee meeting at 5:30 at the historic courthouse. And at that meeting, they're going to be interviewing the different people that have applied for a library board position. They just recently filled some positions, but another one came open. Phil King left his appointment early. So there are six people being interviewed tomorrow evening by the steering committee. So you can go and hear what these people have to say, see who they pick, why they pick who they pick, ask questions.
And this will be at the
historic courthouse on the 5:30 p.m. Upstairs.
Upstairs.
And the other event that's happening tomorrow evening is at 6 o'clock, so you can't go to both. There's a town hall with the Murfreesboro mayor at First Presbyterian at 6 p.m. So you can go in and ask them some hard questions.
Okay. And this is on the library situation or?
That's just a town hall in general. But in a town hall, you can go in and ask whatever questions you want. So you can ask about them supporting our library, supporting our librarians, and supporting our community that relies on the library materials. For example, with a book that they just banned at the last library board meeting, the circulation was brought up, how many times that book has been checked out over what time period.
Sure.
And our new chair for the public library board said that's irrelevant. It doesn't matter if people need the book or not. And I would argue just because someone takes it out doesn't mean they liked it. And so they're trying to get rid of any data that shows our community needs this material, our community wants this material, our librarians are trying to fill that need, because a librarian's reason for being is helping people find the information they need. They learn about their community's needs and provide that. And not everybody likes what other people want or what other people like. They stay impartial. They try to help everybody. So,
but I think the irony should not be lost on us that the certain board members of our public, of the Rutherford County Library system, there are some board members actually engage in misinformation and withholding information. Yeah. You know, basically doing everything that's contrary to the mission of a library. And it's horrible.
When you hear the library board chair say there is no right to read in America.
Ridiculous.
It just heartbroken. I mean, we have the First Amendment for a reason.
Yeah. And the right to read is inherently involved with freedom of the press and freedom of speech.
Worldwide.
Because you have worldwide, to receive.
It's not just here. Yeah, it's worldwide.
Well, and also for the authors.
Yes.
That is them speaking, is putting their words in a book. People have the right to both receive information and give information under the First Amendment.
Yeah. And children have the exact same First Amendment rights as you and I do.
Yeah, there's no age limit. You don't have to be 18 to all of a sudden have rights. You have rights from the moment you're born.
Yeah.
I'll go home tonight and this way, and my wife and I, we're too few people, I'm sure. We still take a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I mean, you know, and I don't mind this. I mean, somebody, I was at a meeting somewhere here last week sometime or a week before, and I had to write a couple of checks. I said, you're still writing checks? You know, I mean.
Yeah, checks. No,
we still have a checking account, and I write the checks, and the wife keeps up with the balance, and, you know, who's this check for $1,000 to Susie? Don't worry about it. And
you need to start making those checks payable to the Lamberts.
Yes, yes, please.
She'd know you're right off. No, there aren't any checks like that. She probably wouldn't mind either. But but we read a paper. I enjoy reading a newspaper. Yeah,
I'm reading an actual paper book right now, and I love it. It's something I do before I go to bed, and it relaxes me, and I learn something new, and I always want to be learning new stuff.
Keith Richards said a while ago, he said, you know, we're not keeping all these books. We ain't got all these books for nothing, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And I know some of them may collect a little dust over time, but hey, you know.
They're there when you need them.
And in our schools where I went back in the last century, in the 70s, you know, when the teacher didn't know, you went to the library. That's where he went.
Yeah. An Indian mathematician in 1931 published a book called The Five Laws of Library Science. And this text is regarded as, this author, Sureli Ranganathan, he was actually a mathematician originally. He is seen as the modern father or parent or whatever, how you wish to express it, of library and information sciences that we practice today.
Right.
And his first law was books are for use.
Books are for use.
Exactly. The books are there for people to come in and use and access without any sort of
barriers
whatsoever.
Sure. Get facts.
To get information.
Yeah, information, facts, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, yeah. You know. Or to entertain themselves, to become better well-read, whatever you wish to do.
The crazy thing about it, and it was on, and I know it's a rerun now, we're into the reruns on 60 Minutes, talking about the AI again.
Mm-hmm,
okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if we might be going back to the world of the Britannica and World Book Encyclopedia.
Well, people are losing trust in information they receive digitally because AI has a habit of not quite getting things right. And
it doesn't. No, it's not getting it right. And that's what they were talking about. Trump, with all of the trash he's throwing into it, the system, if you will. I watched Rachel Maddow one night. I should have played that, I guess. But it's not. It's fighting with itself.
Yep.
Well, and it's open to the programmers' opinions. The AI for, it's Grok. What is that? Is that X, Twitter, whatever?
Yeah.
That AI, it was saying things, and then Elon would make a tweet or whatever saying, oh, we need to fix this. And the next thing you know, Grok is spouting Nazi propaganda, like literally propaganda from World War II
type things. Sure, I believe that.
I'm not trying to twist what he was saying is Nazi. I'm saying he was literally quoting Nazi propaganda and stuff. And then like, oh, we'll make an adjustment. And then he's praising this and then he's putting it down. He's saying this is true, this isn't true. And I'm saying him, it's it, the AI. Right,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
It makes all of these mistakes and it is so easy to change it or influence its opinion and completely change its opinion from yes, this is true to no, it's not true. Like it.
Sure.
Yeah, because it can't really think.
Exactly.
No. It can't.
And, you know, it has no emotion. It
no
has,
emotion.
It has zero, actually, it has zero emotional intelligence.
Right.
And, you know, I know people, emotional. No, it plays a huge role. It plays a huge role in how you interact with other people.
The nuances of language.
Absolutely.
Sure. So, and it can be a very useful situation. There's no doubt about it. We all utilize it every day, whether we know it or not.
Yeah, absolutely.
Know. But in this particular example, because they tried to quote unquote rig the system, and Trump is going to talk about rigging things, you know, but there had been so much, and not necessarily even by him, but maybe some of his people that have done this work, that it didn't recognize what. Well, you know, I thought you said that. Well, it said this and that, and then they said that, and it's jamming the system.
And what's really starting to frighten me now too is that the federal government is using AI to help create government information. Remember when Health and Human Services Secretary Kennedy,
he put
out that report regarding vaccines, and I think it took all of a day for the media to discover that it was actually AI that wrote that position paper.
Right. I remember
and,
that.
You know, some of the references in the back of the report were made up.
Yeah, it just makes up titles and names. I think sounds good, and the sources aren't actual sources. Yeah,
but think about that, Ed. I mean, the government in Washington is—they're supposed to inform us about what's going on with the country and stuff.
Exactly.
But then they're creating knowledge out of thin air without any sort of backup or any sort of rigorous review, and they're so like, how are we supposed to trust the government if they're going to rely on something like AI? I mean, we trust them. I know there's an undercurrent of mistrust in government here, which I understand.
I understand.
But still, I mean, you have to have some trust in your institutions, I think.
Sure.
Because if you don't, then your society is going to start to fall apart.
Exactly.
And I mean, these are really uncharted waters we're starting to get ourselves into.
Well, all roads lead to Rome.
Yeah, right.
And that's how it started.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, now speaking of a wealth of knowledge, we have a caller on the line. Caller, please go ahead. Is this Jeff?
It's Jeff.
Hey, Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good. I just want to say, I never thought I'd listen to other stuff, to other radio stuff, people talk about downs and their little local stuff. I never thought I'd see the day when we'd have a meeting to go meet library board candidates.
What's that now? Running by? I didn't understand you, Joe.
Make it so you have to meet the library board candidate. Sounds like political library board. It's kind of like the beer board.
The beer board?
Make sure that restaurant, you know, serving, you know, whatever, make sure, you know, it's legal to serve beer, whatever. You know. It's kind of odd that. But these days, you have to have meetings like that for stuff. But it's just the way it is. Like I was telling that guy, that's the head of the Coffee County Democratic Party, said that's his biggest fear is that their school board is going to start banning books and things of that nature. That's what he's worried about. He said, his county over there yet, but he's worried about it. You
know, right. Mm-hmm.
He's worried about it. I know, I'm not sure which ones they banned this last time, but whatever board, library board, everyone's banned. I really don't know, but they banned enough already.
Sure. It's a hobby. Yeah.
It's a hobby or it's something to pass down,
I guess.
Instead of baseball, it's banning books, I guess.
Right. Now, Jeff, let me ask you something close to what you're doing, because I know you're having to follow sports. The high school sports is getting ready. It's upon us. In 2 weeks, y'all start this routine again?
Yeah, well, it's already started. McDonald's already started. So,
Right. Right. Have the summer things gone okay with the kids? With the kids practicing, because I know it has been hot out there.
As far as I know, everything. Now, there was a kid over in West Tennessee. I think it was Bolton or something. I think he had a thing. He died.
Mm.
I think he was 16 or 17. Something like it. As far as around here. As far as I know, most of them go in the mornings now, but before school.
Early morning. Right.
I know PCA, like they've already started school. They can't do that. But most of them right now are before, like this end of July, they've been going like usually 7:30 to 9:30, or I know one school was going 7:30 to 10 in the morning. But now, like this week, they're not going to be able to take their first full day. I think it's Friday. But they'll be
sure,
able to
sure.
I think they've got one day where they go a half a day. So like after that, they will be able to. And hopefully it'll cool off. It's supposed to, not supposed to be as hot this week, as far as, you know, it's not supposed to be 100. But I went to something Saturday, and I went to the place there where I have it. It was like a gym kind of. They always, of course, set up. And I thought I was going to freeze to death. What they do, turn the air on at 6 o'clock. Sure,
they felt pretty good for a change. It did.
Yeah. People had hoodies on. This woman had a blanket like she. That's like she's gonna cuddle up the plane, like about to, you know, felt like she's gonna hug Colonel on the eye or something, trying to get warm. It was I never seen so many hoodies in my life. It's just the way it is. I mean, it hadn't it's been really wet too. So now, as far as anybody else with the heat, no, but that's the only one I've heard of in the state that this kid is over west passed away. But
yeah.
It happens all over the country, unfortunately. It's just the way it is.
True.
But now they can't practice 2 or 3 days. They've got to have water breaks. They can't.
Got to keep the water out and the ice and all that.
That's the day they'd have 2 or 3 day practice. They'd be a week. Well, let me tell you one final thing. We was out of the golf course. This guy, they was talking about playing golf. The guy said, well, yeah, you can't play too much when you wet all the way up to you. You know, to you boxers, what can't do. Play too much when you like that, you know. It's just the way it is. But no, I just, like I said, it's just, it's always a slippery slope when you ban one or two things. I mean, it's just, you start, it's just awful. It's just, I mean, I'm hoping that people, you know, I don't know what the library board, I don't know if you have to have a party where, but I'm hoping that they'll just have some sense and not try to ban everything. So, but y'all have a good week. Thank you.
Jeff, thank you. Jeff Neal, good supporter of WGNS, supporter of this show, and, a common sense guy. And, you know, the kids, they're getting ready to get into it. Your daughter's in Los Angeles and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our daughter's in L.A. right now at makeup school. At MUD, right. The makeup... I forget what the D
makeup,
stands.
Makeup designery.
There you go.
That's what's
good. She's there until September, and she'll be coming back. She's still a student at MTSU. And then our son, our baby, is moving out in 2 weeks to go to university. So he's going to go live in the dorms.
Where's he going?
UTK.
Great day.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So how you feel about that?
Yeah, we're not thinking about that yet.
Yeah.
Both of them are going to do amazing things. We love them.
Sure,
they're
sure.
Smart. They're resourceful. All of that. But it's kind of hard when they, you know, grow up.
Now, let me give you, I'm going to, okay, it's confession time. Okay, confession with Eddie, little organ music, please. And, you know, it happened this week, and I'm telling myself. I got so cold, I think this was Thursday night, I can't remember, two or three days, I was miserable, okay? I was shaking and cold. I had on, of course, a T-shirt. Well, when I got to the house, I'd been out to a meeting somewhere, got in. I put on a heavier shirt, long sleeve. Then I put a sweatshirt on over that. Later, I found myself, I went in and put the bathrobe. I said, "Why? I'm freezing in here. It's still like 95 degrees outside." Mm-hmm. You know. So, the next day, the next morning, or whenever it was, wife can tell you, I said, "What in the world?" I said, "Hang on a minute." And I went and looked, and the thermostat for the air conditioner was on 68. It's just me and the wife living at the house.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm glad there's not a grin on your face, Connor. I said, "Who set the thermostat at 68? And the wife didn't say a word, and I knew who'd said it.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at Fatso here. It got hot one day. I want to make sure I got my fair share,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I set that baby back up to about 72, and I've been just fine since, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
So be prepared for that. And, Frankie, if mm-hmm. you make a mistake, yeah, you're going to have to own up to it. It's just going to be you and her.
Oh,
so.
Boy. When it comes to the temperature in the house, that's an ongoing battle.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
I always run hot. She always runs cold.
Yeah. My mother was, our mother was the same way.
Yeah, so we, you know, we
I get excited when spring finally arrives and it starts to warm up. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to be freezing. And before it even warms up outside, he's got our house like a walk-in freezer. And it's like, you don't even have walk-in freezer. You can see your breath.
Well, let me see. I
folks, know this is my new, Frank is my new best friend. I mean, have you got it on your, you know.
Well, no, what I'm doing, I'm trying to convert our temperature to Fahrenheit.
Yeah, we only speak in Celsius.
Yeah, so we have it set at about 72.
Okay. Yeah.
What is that?
Okay.
22 degrees Celsius.
Yeah, I like it at 23.5 is the temperature I like, and he likes it at like 18 or something stupid.
With the humidity, though, I mean,
it's something. Anyway, I walked out this evening, even though the temperature's lower, the humidity is still way over because it's been raining off and on all day.
Yeah.
Which I kind of welcomed.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know what I've been finding, though, especially these last couple of weeks, is that the humidity seems to dissipate during the day.
Right.
So you do have the heat of the day from the sun, no doubt.
True.
But I've seen humidity levels at like 46-48%.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on at night, I check again, and it's like 72-73%.
Unbelievable.
So it's just at night, you know, with the dew point and everything.
Yes.
Just shoots the humidity right up.
Yeah, and you can feel it.
And you're still uncomfortable. Like you never have a chance to really cool off unless you have air conditioning. So. You know,
I know.
Yeah.
Library is a great place to go to cool off as
Absolutely.
I try to steer us back to the reason why we're here.
Yes, you should. And actually, you know what? I wanted to mention something about that.
Right.
You know how Keith was going about how the library is a center of the community. And what's kind of interesting when you think about Keith and his musical background.
Sure.
We have a library branch here in the city that has its own recording studio. The Technology Engagement Center. Over
where at?
Hobgood? Hobgood's over by Hobgood School.
Really?
Yeah, and
I didn't
Dr.
know.
M.
If
O'Kee.
I knew it, I'd forgotten about it. I don't think I knew that.
Yeah. Oh no, the tech library is a library without books. They have all the different technologies you can learn. Mm-hmm. They've got video games there. They've got 3D printing. They've got recording studios.
They have a seed library.
They have a seed library. Like
if you want to set up a garden. A vegetable garden.
Sure.
You can go there, get some seeds from the Technology Engagement Center. The address is 306 Minerva Drive here in Murfreesboro. And you can get seeds and plant them and start your own vegetable garden.
Yeah, there are libraries, not necessarily Rutherford County Library, although I know that librarians are looking to do this, but you
and
can
Connor,
have...
Connor, you've been to this place.
I've only been to a library.
You haven't been over there. Okay.
Yeah.
But some libraries, you can borrow tools. So instead of having to buy a tool for one job, you can go to the library, check out the tool. Different kitchen equipment, gardening equipment. Like,
tools?
Libraries aren't just books. Libraries are the heart of the community.
Sure.
Librarians fill the needs of their community, and every community has different needs.
Sure.
And that's part of the problem when you have a library board coming in that isn't about serving their community, but advancing their own political interests.
Political agenda.
Yes.
And they stop serving the people that they're there to serve. And that's what our librarians do every day. And our librarians are heroes. Mm-hmm. They help people in this community that other people don't or won't or can't or whatever.
Well, and Carrie, here's the thing. It's not necessarily what I like.
No.
Or what my taste is.
That's irrelevant. I'm sorry. Everyone's taste opinions are irrelevant. It is supposed to be.
I know nothing about. I love music, but I know nothing. What I know about opera, you can put in a, in a thimble, and probably that won't come anywhere near filling it. But I love Pavarotti and Plácido Domingo and all those guys and wonderful, but.
You can get their music at the music at the library if you want to listen to it.
Get it right on YouTube. You know, now it's and ironically, not to keep dragging the stones in this, but I was watching about a week or two ago an interview with Mick Jagger. And if there's anyone who has ever rolled with the times, it's this guy.
Mm-hmm.
He said, they did an album where everything used to be singles. Mm-hmm. The 45, right. We all remember.
Yep.
And he said, now you just go, if you've got a computer or a phone,
yep.
Bam, right there it is.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
And the quality of sound is, Lord, so much better.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, some audiophiles like to hear the hissing of the needle as it goes around the groove.
Well, that's what Keith Richards said Jimmy Fallon. He said, you like to hear that crack in the skip. He said, but you know it's coming.
Exactly.
But even though you can do everything on your phones, it is possible you don't necessarily know how to do all of the little things, all the nuances, adjusting the light or the sound or whatever.
Exactly right.
And if you go to the library, there are people there that will help you.
Exactly right.
Like literally anything you want to do. Anything you need help with, you can go to the library. And the fact we are villainizing people who are there just serving their communities is what tears me apart.
Right.
There's a library, I think it's in Denmark, and what they do is...
Oh, the human?
Yeah, they have a human library.
literally.
It's humans with expertise in certain areas.
Okay.
So, for example, you can go down to this library, and there could be a lawyer there.
All right.
And you can, quote-unquote, sign them out for half an hour, an hour, and you can discuss legal issues that you might have with that lawyer, and he or she can help guide you.
And this is where, Denmark?
I think it's in Denmark.
There's different initiatives in different places.
Yes.
And I know there's been talk of doing them here. There isn't any here right now, but... Yeah, anyone could volunteer. You could volunteer and be a grandma for someone, and they could... Yeah. Check you out, whatever, where you would have that time and you could act as grandma, give grandmaly advice or motherly advice or whatever, whatever your expertise is.
Right. Okay.
This is what libraries are.
Sure. A huge, development, it's been going on for a few years, but it was kind of interrupted, obviously, with COVID-19, is social workers in the libraries. And this is an area of research that I'm starting to develop myself. Where you anybody with any sort of issues, social issues, any sort of mental health issues, etc.
Sure.
And when they go to the library, rather than having librarians there who can, they're just not trained to deal with people who are in crisis.
They would have to direct someone to social services.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Now,
I got
a lot of libraries have a social worker as part of their regular full-time staff there to help people when they come in. In whatever sort of crisis they're in.
Sure.
And there's now a dual degree.
Yes.
Available at MTSU, developed by, somebody there.
Yeah, I bet it was. I'd like to see the guy develop that.
Okay.
Folks, it's the guy in the center of the screen. You look at him.
He's awfully handsome.
He's he's debonair. Yeah. Came in drinking on a martini. Yeah. And,
shaken, not stirred.
Really, I remember when you're talking about that, Carrie, when David Letterman retired from the Letterman Show, he didn't know how to use a telephone. Everyone had always had his phones, Frank, line one. Sure, it's line one. Mm-hmm. You're David Letterman, what's up? That was it. Phones changed over 20 years. Phones have changed over the last 2 years.
Yes.
And, I have caught myself, and I'm sure all of us have, at certain things, I didn't know how to make a cup of coffee.
Mm.
They got rid of the coffee machines, and they put in this Keurig, whatever that thing is, and my wife had to teach me. I said, this thing. I thought, she'll use this. Let's keep that back there in the utility room because I have food. We're going to use that again. Mm-hmm. Well, it's still back there collecting dust, but we're using the Keurig. And I now know how to make a cup of coffee with Keurig.
We're all lifelong.
I don't know.
But lifelong learning. That's what life is.
Right. What I've just finished doing recently, Ed? I just finished replacing the water pump on my Volkswagen.
Oh, man.
I'm not a mechanic.
Right, yeah.
But I found the help I needed online.
YouTube,
that lots of good videos that helped me out. I also discovered some things by accident, but nothing seriously by accident, of course. But I mean, a job that would have cost me $1,000 at least out of pocket, minimum.
Sure.
Ended up costing me like maybe $300.
Sure.
And my time.
Sure, your time.
But you learned something new as well.
But I learned something new, and I loved it.
Sure.
I mean, my hands were an absolute mess.
Well,
you know, but it was great.
When you were talking about that, the last time I did it for the wife's car, I believe it was, I think it was a starter that I put on the wife's car.
Yep.
And we had concrete. I had a friend of mine. I said, I laid out there on that concrete, you know, carport. Yeah. He said, "Concrete?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Gosh, you're rich."
Said, so cement.
He had to lay on gravel or dirt, gravel, you know. Which I said, yeah, "Don't get me wrong, I've done that too."
Yeah, it's
but
painful.
I did. But the next morning, I'll never forget that Sunday morning. I woke up and my hands.
Oh yeah.
Were.
My back.
They were hurt. Oh yeah.
Hanging over car. Mechanics, they really deserve any.
I know.
Anybody and in the trades who can do a full career in the trades.
Did. Yeah, I'm telling you, amazing. You see the scratches and the burns and scratches all in both arms.
Yep.
And you pay a price. And I told Johnny, I said, "Hun, I think I've just turned my last wrench." I'm not going to. Because of my uncle who's out in California. And Daniel, if you're listening, hello. Long Beach, if you're listening. he has a severe case of arthritis. Mm-hmm. Well, I won't say severe. He's doing fine. But, but you know, it takes its toll on everyone in different ways.
Yep.
My cousin had it. Bless Janice. She passed away a few years back. And she had cut hair all of her life. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really affected her.
Yep.
And there's just certain, like I said, we were talking before we come in, there's certain things I just won't do anymore. Like I'll never dunk a basketball again, you know, but that's just the way life is.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, even though I'm like 6'4", go 100, you know, 205.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, good looking guy. And,
But, you know, the information is out there to help you.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Overcome these things.
Sure.
You know, I mean, it's just a matter of being willing to do it,
sure.
Take that chance, and also being willing to ask for help and knowing who you can ask for help. And libraries have always been a place where you could go and ask for
help.
That's
beautiful. Yeah. And I use YouTube to fix car. Mm-hmm. Simple things.
Sure.
And then if I find out, that's not going to be so simple, I better run down to my buddies.
Absolutely.
down to the shop. They know what they're doing.
Yep.
Got to pull out the old checkbook
and
or the credit card. We're going to go to our last break. Frank and Carrie Lambert are here with us. Glad to have them as always. Connor's on the board. I'm Ed Raymer. Going to our last break. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged followed, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Go to Jay Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Murfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's Jay Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Murfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Uh, All right, we're back. Frank and I have got our instructions. Carrie, it's all yours. Tell us what the ACLU is all about. Please. That's the reason she's here, folks. Seriously.
Well, I'm not a representative of the ACLU.
Exactly.
It's just good news that the ACLU has, they've been paying attention for a while and all the stuff going on here in Murfreesboro and Rutherford County.
Yeah, tell me about the list. There was four cities, I think you told me.
Okay, well, ACLU Tennessee has been paying attention for quite a while. Sure. And that, you know, the lawsuit, they're looking at that as the beginning of a relationship with our community here. And they want to be more involved. So National, actually, has gotten involved. Mm-hmm. And they've done this power and purpose training. And they offered it in Detroit, Miami, a city in Colorado, I want to say Boulder, but
Denver.
I could be wrong.
I think it was Denver.
Was it Denver?
Yep.
And Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And let me tell you, Murfreesboro, Tennessee had the largest turnout. They actually had to close registration about a week early.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Because the turnout was so huge. So we know there are people out there that have sort of had
enough. Now, when you say
enough.
turnout for what?
Oh, they had an event here. It was a one-day power and purpose training that they offered. National sent experts in to come in and train people in the community on how to push back, how to protect and preserve people's rights.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And
in a nonviolent way,
there's nothing about violence.
No. This is not a protest or a march or anything like that. Look, this is a riot. Don't make a big deal out of it. You don't have to have a stroke.
And let's not forget too, the ACLU does not take sides.
They're also the ones that have defended Nazis.
Yes.
They want to have free speech.
Exactly.
In that. Yeah. It's about preserving rights. It's not about helping the right or the left or the anyone in between. It's about simply looking at what people's rights are and trying to protect them.
Yeah, I mean, they defended Rush Limbaugh one time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Of all
yeah.
people. He never would acknowledge it.
No.
But they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, that's what they're all about. And
they look at the laws very black and white. They interpret what the law says, not their opinions or what they would like or what how they want the world to be. Mm. They look at what is written here in black and white? What do these words mean? Because a lot of people don't understand how important words are. Each word is chosen in a law for a very specific reason. My example for that is always when we go back to the library and they're like, we have to remove any materials that are harmful to children. And then the definition of harmful to children is a watered down version of the Miller test, which you can't do because the Miller test was determined by the Supreme Court to determine obscenity, and so you had to meet those bars, but Tennessee decided, no, we'll just call it harmful to minors, and they're leaving out the fact that restricting access to information actually causes real, measurable harm to our children. Our teen pregnancy rate in Rutherford County for 15 to 17-year-olds is through the roof. We are the top 10 counties in the country. Mm-hmm. Our STD rate for 15 to 17-year-olds is through the roof. And in one of the top counties in the country, not just in Tennessee. And the state has actually come back to our school board and say, kids in Tennessee need comprehensive sex education to protect them, to prevent harm. And they just ignore it and continue with the abstinence-only programs. And they're harming, restricting access to information. They're taking away, they banned a book about a school shooting.
Hmm.
So our children can go to school and have to live through live shooter drills.
Believe it. My nephew years ago told me they actually do it. I can't believe it.
Heaven forbid they could have to actually live through an incident like that at school. But they can't read a book about it. Or I shouldn't even say that. They can't have a book in the school on a shelf that's closed that is only open to access the information from someone who wants to access it. They can't even keep it in the school.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's obscene. But our children can live with that sort of obscenity, that violence. It doesn't make any sense.
No.
There are books that people, there are books that people credit with saving their lives. Victims of sexual assault. I've had a few talk to me about the book Speak and how it literally saved their lives because they were seen, they were represented. They didn't commit suicide because they read that book and realized, okay, what I'm feeling is normal. This is horrible, but there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
That's
I'm not
exactly
the only
right.
person that's gone through
that's
this.
That's right.
There are people that like I said, someone with Turner syndrome, for example, or someone just LGBTQ plus, they see themselves represented by characters in books. They feel less alone. They are less likely to harm themselves. Access to information protects our children. Ignorance does not protect our children. It might allow us to go, la, 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 the world's beautiful and sunshine and roses, and we're going to ignore all these bad things. And I don't want my child learning about those bad things. I want to wrap them in bubble wrap and be a helicopter parent and protect them from the world. But you have to realize at some point you aren't going to be there wrapping them in bubble wrap, helicoptering over and protecting them. And they have to know real facts to protect themselves and keep themselves safe. So restricting access to information causes harm to children. So when the other side says, why do you guys want to show this pornography? First of all, it's not pornography. No, my goodness, choose your words more carefully and learn what you're talking about. And secondly, it's because we're actually fighting to protect children, and the statistics are on our side. The data, the evidence is on our side. Having access to information keeps our children safer than restricting what they can read because you don't like it. You don't want to have a conversation with your child about it. You don't want them asking questions.
We'd rather not just face it.
No LGBTQ plus character in a book is going to turn a child gay. If that were true, why, like, how many gay people were turned straight because they read Romeo and Juliet?
Tell me about it. Yeah.
Right? Wow. Our culture is filled with heterosexuality, heterosexual characters, relationships. That's what's modeled constantly. And there are still LGBTQ plus people because just because you know something exists doesn't make you that thing.
Sure.
Because your child reads a book where a penguin has two dads, they're not going to be gay if they aren't already gay. But what it, for that child that already is gay, they're going to see representation. They're going to feel like they belong, and they're going to be less likely to be suicidal in their teens, because a lot of teen suicide, it is because they are closeted LGBTQ plus or even not closeted. And the bullying and then not being represented fairly or properly or represented at all. And anyone who says representation doesn't matter, I would say you come from a group that's very well represented.
That's exactly right. Sure. Anything else? I don't want to cut you.
Oh, I could go on for hours. I just want you guys to focus on these issues because they're so important.
They are very important.
Yeah.
And they are what has forged this nation. Nadine Strossen, have you talked to her lately? And she was here before, what, a year or two ago, whenever she was here?
Last September.
It was last September, here. But
thank
we still...
Thank you again for this. And she was here. She's the former head of the ACLU for, what, 18 years
before she retired. Yeah. And now she's a post-fellow at FIRE. She has a title at FIRE. Nadine, if you're listening, I'm so sorry. I know you're not listening, but I forget your title. But she's with FIRE now. Mm. And, yeah, like... We still talk, and you know, we're still trying to fight the good fight.
She's not short on speaking engagements, I'm sure.
Oh, no. She is not. And she also never turns down speaking engagements. No. So if there's an event coming up and you want someone to speak, reach out to Nadine Strossen. She's an amazingly intelligent, well-educated, well-spoken woman. Her family comes from Nazi Germany, like literally from the concentration camps. They survived that. And she has dedicated her life to protecting people's rights. And again, this isn't a left or right issue.
No, because
everybody has rights.
Judge Scalia was at her retirement dinner.
Yeah.
Judge Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yep.
And Justice
Souter was there.
Yep. Souter was there.
Yep.
That's a pretty heady cast.
Exactly. But also across the whole political spectrum. Because it all came down to rights.
What is protecting rights?
And this is what historically politics have been in the past. Like, you look at RBG and Alito, and they were like best friends outside of the court, even though they argued so. They had polar opposite views, but it used to be you could discuss issues and then go for a beer after or a coffee
or hang out.
And you know, you might agree to disagree on things, you might push back on certain things. But it seems like the current environment we are living in is so divided that if you don't agree with me on absolutely everything, you're a jerk, you're ignorant, you're stupid, you're, you know, a demon sex cult member, and, you know, all of these things. It's like, no, we're just talking about the language of the law, the words that are used, and people's rights. Because once you start chipping away people's rights, it's a very slippery slope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and of course, as you know, and I'm sure you had researched before you ever came here, this is, we're in the South, but this is the buckle of the Bible Belt. We're right on it. You know, and I respect that and I appreciate it.
There's
I knew when
nothing
we moved
wrong
here in 1980,
that.
That's fine. You know, that's wonderful. But there's sense and there's common sense and there's common decency and respect. And a lot of that has been just pushed to the side because of my opinion. Well, you know, this
it's
station,
not really...
that, just like I told you, I mean, my marriage doesn't run on my opinion. It runs on our opinion, you know.
Well, I would argue that it's more about manipulation because there are certain individuals that want power and they use the church. They use the fact that this is the Bible Belt.
Yeah.
And they know that so many people participate in their churches that it's a really easy way to control people if you start off slow and small and convince them there's pornography in the libraries.
Well,
did you know there's pornography in the library? There's pornography. And then people start believing it when it's just not true.
I will say this. We've got a minute left. And I got worried about that when I saw our, it was a couple of months ago, that our new teachers, they were going to have orientation. And please, no offense, folks. And I don't want any mail on it. Well, send me some mail. I really don't care. No, I don't care, really. They had the orientation at World Outreach Church. Okay. Do you mean that all of Rutherford County government does not have an auditorium, a school, have auditoriums in schools that can accommodate these people?
A lot
on,
of people that are running things have connections,
problem.
And that is a
I have a problem, and I don't live in the city of Murfreesboro, but I have a problem with that meeting being held at Presbyterian Church tomorrow. Okay?
Fair enough, yeah.
I have a problem with that, and that's my problem. Tell me about the meetings. Tomorrow.
Yeah, we've got this steering committee meeting where they're going to be interviewing the people that have put in their applications for library board positions. There's one position to be filled.
Right.
And then there's the town hall at First Presbyterian at 6. Steering committee is at 5:30, historic courthouse, second floor, town hall, First Presbyterian, 6 o'clock.
Frank and Carrie Lambert have been my guests tonight, and I really appreciate it, folks. Thank you so much. Connor's been on the board. I'm Ed Raymer. And until next Sunday at 8 o'clock, I'll catch you down the road. Good night, everybody.
Thanks.